You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, I've been compiling a database of flood reporting on Friday, combining social media posts, press reporting, and official communications from organizations, trying to piece together a timeline. From this timeline, we can estimate when and where flooding was occurring and what communication was given by organizations. Now, firstly, this data set comes with a few caveats. The timeline, for the most part, only covers publicly available reporting. Organizations like Fire Emergency, the police, Waka Kotahi, and the council would have been the primary groups to receive reports of flooding, so we can only estimate what they might have been aware of from what is publicly available. This also doesn't cover all social media posts made covering the flooding. This timeline can be taken as a best case scenario, with flooding to be estimated as occurring at the time the posts were uploaded. Preceding Friday, multiple forecasts came through highlighting potential heavy rainfall for Auckland. A WeatherWatch rainfall forecast on Wednesday warned of 50 to 200 millimetres of rainfall over anniversary weekend. Met Service on Thursday had issued an orange severe weather warning for the Greater Auckland region. WeatherWatch on the same day also warned of an impending week of repetitively bad weather starting from Friday. But most interestingly, an Australian weather model on Tuesday forecast 300 to 400 millimetres of rain landing directly on Auckland, exactly what was to occur 3 days later. Obviously, these are all meteorological predictions that have to be examined critically, but there was a strong indication before the day that Auckland would receive heavier than normal weather on Friday. These warnings didn't stop either. WeatherWatch and Met Service continue to release further updates warning of incoming heavy rain. WeatherWatch released a flood risk map at 12:45 p.m. on Friday, one of the first forecasters to mention the potential of flooding in Auckland. And soon after, reports of said flooding started to come in. One of the earliest videos on Twitter was posted at 2:15 p.m. on Friday, showing surface flooding pouring out of the gate at Mungafar School in Mount Eden. Soon after, at 2:30 p.m, Waka Kotahi sent out an update that State Highway 1 was partially blocked by slips north of Auckland. An hour later, Met Service posted a severe thunderstorm warning for Auckland, saying it would cause surface flooding and to, quote, take it easy out there. Soon after, posts started to trickle onto social media, showing roads and waterways increasingly swamped by the rain. A photo from Riverhead at 3:30 p.m. shows a roadside stream starting to overflow onto the street above. Just after 4, a Twitter user shares a video of the completely flooded cul-de-sac outside his house, now sending water directly down his driveway. A photo posted in NIWA's flood database at 4:15 shows water pouring through someone's fence, starting to heavily flood the yard. A little bit later, Auckland Transport announces their first disruption due to the weather, saying that the Western Line track had flooded somewhere in Glen Eden. By this point, Otatiah Stream, usually a small tributary running through West Auckland, has now become a raging torrent. A video post at 4:30 p.m. shows water levels in the stream up 10 metres, now running onto a bridge high over the stream and flooding surrounding houses. For many, the flood water came without warning. Mele, a woman from Mangere, described her house being suddenly inundated with water, and before long, reaching chest height even before she had the time to collect her things. By this point, Auckland had already received 60 millimetres of rainfall since midnight. Waterways and stormwater systems were already highly saturated, already before the 180 millimetres of rain that was about to be dropped onto the city over the course of a few hours. Just before 5 p.m, Auckland Council reports a large landslip blocking State Highway 1 north of Auckland. It's now the second State Highway 1 blockage in northern Auckland so far. Posts start to stream in, showing flooded intersections and waterways turn into deluges. At a press conference later Friday night, Auckland Emergency Management Controller Andrew Clark would say that a state of emergency was being considered from 5 p.m. onwards. AEM had seen widespread flooding in western and northern Auckland before 5 p.m. Instead of calling a state of emergency or communicating further, they let Friday long weekend rush hour traffic out onto a quickly engulfed road system. A few minutes after 5 p.m, Fire and Emergency reports that every fire truck in Auckland is in use after 400 calls for assistance. Met Service issues a severe thunderstorm warning for the Auckland region. By 5:30 p.m, sections of State Highway 1 on the North Shore and State Highway 16 out west have already completely flooded, leading to gridlock traffic trying to navigate floodwaters. At 5:45 p.m, Auckland Civil Defence communicates for the first time about the flooding on Facebook. The situation across Tamaki Makaurau is worsening, and we're working with emergency services to establish what help is needed on the ground. They list out some warnings and advice and say updates will be provided as they come in. They don't post again for 4 hours. By this point, Waka Kotahi confirms State Highway 1 is blocked in Albany and by Esmond Road. The CBD is starting to be heavily impacted, with footage showing Queen Street overwhelmed with water. At 6 p.m, Auckland Emergency Management reportedly decides not to issue a state of emergency declaration. Met Service warns of significant flooding underneath storms at the same time. Busways along State Highway 1 are now completely flooded in sections, with water pouring into buses as they pass through. Met Service confirms Auckland has now received 80% of its normal summer rainfall over the course of Friday so far. At this point, major roadways like Victoria Street and Dominion Road are now swamped, and the eastern and southern train lines are now cancelled due to flooding. Tens of thousands of people are now descending onto Mount Start Stadium for the Elton John concert, and the Auckland Stadium's management group enters a meeting to discuss the event. Multiple train lines are cancelled. By 7 p.m, parts of the CBD are completely flooded, and busy thoroughfares like Victoria Park and the bottom of Parnell, cars can be seen attempting to navigate floodwaters. Elton John is cancelled after 10,000 people are already inside the stadium, and attendees are loaded onto buses to be shuttled through increasingly flooded streets. Shortly after, a man is found deceased in a culvert in Wairau Valley. A business owner in the area told the New Zealand Herald that he saw the man kayaking through floodwaters. The Victoria Park tunnels from the CBD to the Harbour Bridge are now completely flooded, trapping cars in built-up queues. Waka Kotahi posts the first update to Auckland road closures in an hour and a half, confirming State Highway 1 closures throughout the North Shore. The Twitter account for Waka Kotahi will sign off at 7:50 p.m, saying no more updates will come through on social media for the night. Wayne Brown calls into RNZ around the same time, saying infamously, "We just need the rain to stop. That's the main issue." 71 millimetres of rain is about to be dropped onto Auckland over the next hour. All across Auckland, further reports of massive flooding continue to come in. The main Green Lane East intersection by McDonald's is underwater, and Wairau Valley is completely flooded. Police and emergency services are at some locations trying to divert traffic, but many report having no information about what roads are closed or where to go for assistance. Michael Wood, the Minister for Transport, will say on Twitter that he's now asking Waka Kotahi to restart their social media communication urgently at around 9 p.m. A red heavy rain warning is issued for Auckland soon after, 5 to 6 hours after reports of major flooding began. At 9:30, a state of emergency is allegedly declared by Mayor Brown, but that isn't communicated publicly by council until after 10 p.m, leaving councillors and politicians to continue to call on Brown to declare a state of emergency. After the declaration is confirmed publicly, Auckland Civil Defence post location of the first evacuation centre set up for the flooding at 10 p.m. Other organisations begin to post about the flooding again, including Auckland Transport, Waka Kotahi, and Auckland Council. For many, it's the first update they've posted about the flooding in hours. At 10:45, Chris Hipkin confirms the emergency declaration status in Auckland and mobilises the Beehive Bunker to monitor the situation. At 11:15, at least 9 hours since surface flooding began, and after the rain had mostly stopped, Wayne Brown hosts a press conference covering the flooding situation. Much of the conference has been defending the council's response and communication over the course of Friday. While this timeline of flooding has its limitations due to it being a somewhat small, incomplete snapshot of the events, it pales in comparison with what information government organisations would have access to. Emergency services had received 400 calls by 5 p.m, and fire and emergency was completely at capacity around the same time. Auckland Transport has access to over 5,000 cameras across Auckland, including on sections of road that saw major flooding, like Beach Road, Queen Street, and in Wairau Valley, along with reporting from public transport services and operators. They were aware of disruptions to services by at least 4:30 p.m, and impacts only worsened over the course of Friday night. Waka Kotahi would have been aware of potential traffic buildup going into rush hour, and new State Highway 1 was blocked in multiple major thoroughfare locations from at least 5 to 6 p.m. Auckland Civil Defence Management was watching the situation from 5 p.m. onwards, but the declaration was made 4.5 hours later, already after most of the flooding had occurred. In the aftermath of Friday, central government and council figures promised a review of the events, trying to determine what had gone wrong. Much of the criticism for the handling of Friday has been placed on Wayne Brown, but a bigger question remains to be asked of council organisations whose role it is to monitor and react to events like this. It's not shocking that a mayor who rejected crisis management lessons didn't handle an event like this well, but why did our major organisations also react so poorly? If they didn't understand the scale of the events at the time, why was that information not communicated properly between departments? If it was communicated, why wasn't it acted upon? Why did the call to declare a state of emergency come after major flooding had occurred across Auckland for multiple hours, and after thousands of calls to emergency services? Why did almost no communication on the flooding come from organisations like Auckland Emergency Management, whose primary role is acting in crisis events like this? It's something that will have to be answered by a review into these systems, and why they seem to fail to react so spectacularly to one of the largest natural disasters Auckland has ever seen.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.